Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome once again to Border Crossings. Today we are joined by a singer-songwriter who has been compared to the likes of Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw, Kenny Chesney. We know what lane that he drives in. It's the country music lane. We'd like to welcome to our program today, Border Crossings, a man who's just got his EP out, just came out. Chris Bandy, welcome to the Voice of America.
How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. And where are we talking to you from today? You're in a studio, but...
Nashville, Tennessee. I'm in my newly adopted studio. This is where we've had to make our makeshift studio with, the world that we're living in right now. But it was just this was my Xbox room until last year.
So you're a video gamer?
I play two games, Call of Duty and PGA. Those are my only two. Anything else, anybody's going to whoop my butt in, but those are the two that I can kind of hold my own.
And for my 11-year-old son, who might try to find you on Xbox Live, what is your handle? What is the name you go by?
I think it's just JC Bandy.
JC Bandy, all right. For those around the world, you're going to have all of a sudden...
I'm going to have a lot of new friends.
So, Chris Bandy, why country music? It's always been the same format for you. Have you always been passionate about country music?
I think yes and no. It was kind of funny. My mom listened to nothing but country music when I was a kid. My dad listened to 90s pop music, rock music. So it kind of depended on who was taking me to school that day, on what I was listening to. Then I got to an age where everything that mom and dad listened to was the furthest thing from cool. So I had to branch out. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. So I listened to a guy by the name of Nelly, when I was a kid, knew every word to all of those songs long before I probably should have. And went through a big rock phase, Blink 182 and Fall Out Boy. And then I remember I was 15 years old and there was a kid that used to take me home from football practice every day. And he listened to nothing but country music as well. And I remember riding home one day and a song by Kenny Chesney came on. It was Summertime by Kenny Chesney. And I remember hearing it and thinking, wait, that's country music? That's not what my mom used to listen to. This is like, I can relate to this. I love this. And ever since then, when I was 15, it was country music all the way.
All right. Well, I probably, was in St. Louis. I'm not sure how old you are, but I lived in, South Summit off of.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I was there for a year, but it was 1987. I don't know if you were born then or not.
Right before me.
That was before you came into the world.
You paved the way for me.
I paved the way. I made that I-70 drive from St. Louis, to Kansas City and back, and had a chance to watch the World Series out there.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Beautiful city. St. Louis, for those that don't know, they have the Landing, in the downtown area. They have the Arch, and, of course, Anheuser-Busch, the home of the beer.
Yes, sir. Home of the Clydesdales.
Home of the Clydesdales. And home of Chris Bandy, too.
Yes.
And what a bunch of nice people. People in St. Louis are just so nice. I don't know what it is. What? How do you feel when you go out of St. Louis and you perform in other areas that it's just a different tone, a different temper, different kind of people?
Yeah, we've got that Midwestern mentality that – hardworking, but very, very nice. Hold the door for you. If we need to squeeze by you, we, excuse me.
That's right.
But that is just the way that I grew up. And, I do love St. Louis, and we got to go back home last weekend because my girlfriend's sister had a little baby girl. So we got to meet her for the first time. And every time I go back to St. Louis, it just feels great.
Now, I remember the first time that I had to pull my car over on the side of the road, I had three cars pull over to help me. I'm from Detroit. If somebody pulls over, when you pull over, you get back in the car and lock
it. It's trouble.
But not in St. Louis. Chris Bandy is a singer-songwriter who has already achieved over 100 million streams. You were, named one to watch and Mr. Hot Country and all kinds of different accolades that you've received. I don't have them exactly down, but there's a list of accolades, and if it's on the up-and-coming star list, you'll find Chris Bandy's name there associated with it. And I read where one of your goals, you want to play the Grand Ole Opry, or have you done that yet?
So we got to cross that one off the bucket list in February of 2020, right before, you know, everything went haywire. It was an incredible experience. We had fans in the crowd. It was one of the last shows that we got to play. My family came down. My mom and dad came down. My girlfriend's whole family came down. My drummer, who grew up listening to the Grand Ole Opry every Saturday night with his grandpa, his mom and dad got to come down. So it was, we kind of made a family affair of it, but it was a incredible experience. And, you know, everybody just told me to take it all in, breathe, and enjoy the experience. And I'm pretty sure that I blacked out walking out there, and I don't recall much of it other than, you know, I'm pretty sure that people in the front row could see my heart beating out of my chest because I was so nervous. And there's a little circle that was brought over, has been at the Ryman. It's been at the Grand Ole Opry. It is just historic. And so many people have stood in this circle. And I remember walking out there, looking at the circle, looking at the crowd, taking a deep breath and walking in. And it was just a surreal experience. And I hope we get to do it many more times. But that first time was incredible.
Is there like a wall backstage signed by everybody who's been, you know, is there a dressing room where there's signatures or something?
There are dressing rooms. I'm trying to think. I don't know if there are signatures everywhere. We got to go back and play so I can find this out.
That's it. Hank Williams' hairbrush is sitting on the table.
Yes. I'll make a few calls and see what we can do.
There you go. Now, you have a new EP out, which is self-titled, Chris Bandy.
Yes, sir.
This is not your first release, or is it?
So we had, throughout my career, we've released singles or one or two songs, but this is the first cohesive set of songs that we've put out and kind of titled it an EP. Mm-hmm. It was such a fun and cool experience to go into the studio, because this was pretty much the first time that I had gone into the studio with songs that I was going to be putting out and kind of put my touch on them in the studio. So that was an awesome experience, and to see these world-class musicians take something that you had written on an acoustic guitar in a room the size of a, you know, Chevy Silverado, taking it and making it what it is today. And I got to work with some incredible musicians, incredible producers. And yeah, we put it out in the middle of May of last year. And, people used to ask me if I had any advice for anybody moving to town, what it would be. And up until last year, and now it's don't put out your debut EP in the middle of a pandemic. But no, it was so incredible, because I have an amazing team who, you know, busted their butts to make sure that we dotted every I and crossed every T in the release. And I'm so excited to be going back out on the road to play these songs, because we really haven't been able to. We kind of put it out and the people have gotten some time to digest it. And I'm excited to see, you know, them at shows and hopefully singing all the words to the songs that are out now.
And because of the pandemic, Chris Bandy, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind singing a song from your living room to the 100 countries and 279 million people who are watching.
Absolutely.
Now around the world.
Absolutely.
What's this song called?
So this was the first song that we ever put out. When I moved to town, people told me to write about what I know about. And one thing that I know very well is how to be dumb when it comes to relationships. So I brought this idea in thinking about a relationship that I was in college, and and if we met a little bit later in life, whether we would have, you know, made it work or broken up in the end, because I felt like I learned things by this time and I was man enough now for a relationship. So I brought that title in, and we kind of put this song out, and didn't think anybody would ever really listen to it, but they started sharing it. They started listening to it, coming to shows and singing it back to us and holding up signs that say "Man Enough Now." And it's kind of funny because there's a saying in Nashville that 3 minutes can change your life. And this song absolutely did for me. It got me my publishing deal, which means I get to write music every day for a living. And it got me my record deal, which means I get to do awesome stuff like this. And yeah, so this song is called "Man Enough Now."
All right.
I was scared, I wasn't quite ready yet. Didn't want to let my freedom get too far away, so I would say anything to keep you just close enough. Like I need a little space to breathe, a little time for me to think. I just need you to wait for me. Wish you weren't waiting for me to grow up, get myself together, stop giving you the runaround, running from forever. It's too bad, happened when we did. I've learned a lot about life since then. I can't go back, and girl, I hate that. You fell in love, kid trying to figure it out, because I'm man enough now. Guess it's something every boy's gotta do. Getting so close but letting it slip through. Your fingers, yeah, you gotta learn the hard way. But once you do, you start to look back on all the things that you shoulda, woulda, coulda done. Bet you never thought that I would. Oh, grow up, get myself together, stop giving you the runaround, running from forever. It's too bad, happened when we did. I've learned a lot about life since then. I can't go back, and girl, I hate that. You fell in love, kid trying to figure it out, because I'm man enough to push my pride out of the way. Make a girl like you wanna stay. It took a while for me to come around. I am man enough now. I grew up, I got it all together. I stopped running from forever. It's too bad, happened when we did. I've learned a lot about life since then. I can't go back, girl, I hate that. You fell in love, kid trying to figure it out. So if one more chance, something that you ever think about, I'm man enough now. Man enough now.
Chris Bandy, Man Enough Now. And that song has a video that I guess has a couple of pretty well-known stars in it.
Yes, yes. So we shot that video probably the end of, I want to say, 2019. And it was so fun to do. We actually have shot two videos for that. There was one when we initially released the song and we got to shoot it in the Smoky Mountains, which was an incredible experience. And I looked a little different at that time. I had I had no beard, long hair, and a ponytail. And when we released the radio version, we thought, you know what, maybe we should do something that looks a little bit closer to what I look like now. And so my good friend Dustin Haney, he's directed all of my videos. He's just got a knack for directing videos, and I'm very glad that he and I are such good friends, and that he has been a big pump to helping, you know, get my career where it is today.
Do you play football or did you play football in school?
I did play football. I played football, hockey, and lacrosse.
All right. So I'm thinking here, you're channeling Sam Hunt. That's what I'm thinking. You got the beard.
I will take that. I will take that. He was a little better at football than I was, D1 starting quarterback, but I will 100% take that.
He's also from Missouri, right? He was in Kansas.
He's from Georgia.
Georgia, okay. I mean, yes, he played for the Chiefs or something. They were drafted or moved.
I think he did get drafted by the Chiefs. Yeah, so an NFL quarterback, more elite than just a D1 quarterback.
So who are your music idols? Who is Chris Bandy listening to? Who inspires you? Who caused you to do what you're doing?
Yeah, so my first concert was Garth Brooks when I was 5 years old. Mm. And that was the first time that I think I thought to myself, that's what I want to do when I grow up. So I saw him running, jumping off the stage, flying over the crowd with a harness attached to him. And I think that's where I caught the bug. And then, you know, I loved 90s rock music, Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, Hootie and the Blowfish, stuff like that. But then I also loved Travis Tritt and Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson and George Strait. So I'm very lucky that I was raised with this plethora of great music. And then when I moved, so I went to college in Mississippi. And I got to see guys like Luke Bryan and Eric Church play when they had just started their careers in music. And the first time they'd come to town, they'd have maybe 250 people at the show. Next time they'd come back, they would have had a little bit more success. They'd sell maybe 500, 750 tickets. The next time they came back, it was sold out. So to kind of see that, from kind of a front row perspective and see that it was all happening in Nashville. That's when I realized that, you know, I wanted to move to Nashville when I had graduated, because that was my mom and dad's one stipulation. You have to get your degree and then you can go do whatever you want. So I knew that Nashville was calling me right after I got that degree.
And what's the degree in?
Marketing.
Marketing?
Yeah.
No, couldn't ask for a better degree for the career.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I'm marketing a different product. It's just myself.
Yourself. And that's not always the easiest thing to
market. No, it is not.
No. They ask you to fill out this form. What are your best qualities? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not an easy thing to take a self look.
Right.
But I do have to say that, you know, your country sound is very, very mass appealing.
Well, thank you. You
know, and I don't know if that was the goal, because country music's gone through quite a few changes. I mean, from the twangy, hardcore country sound to, I mean, now these days you've got Kane Brown doing mixtapes.
Right.
A hip hop artist. You've got Lil Nas X doing, you know, with Billy Ray Cyrus. You know,
yes, sir.
All kinds of trends happening, you know, in your genre, in your format. And what direction do you see yourself going down the future? You want to experiment a little bit?
I'm not sure if I want to experiment too much. I think it is amazing for not only country music, but music in general. You know, this is our record player right here, where we can listen to any genre, any song we want to in 10 seconds. So I think that has expanded all genres, and I think it's great for music. And I grew up in a time where I could listen to anything I wanted to. I could go from Jay-Z to Toby Keith to Michael Jackson to Linkin Park. And we weren't so confined by genres. So the one thing that I think has held true in country music is lyrics, storytelling, and just songs about life. And that's what I try to write day in and day out, because, you know, growing up in St. Louis, we had a little bit more asphalt than we had dirt roads, like some artists in country music. We wore a few more pairs of Nikes than we did cowboy boots. But one thing that I've always tried to do is tell my truth in songs and write what I know in songs. And I think that is kind of what has always drawn me to country music. is the lyrics and the storytelling.
Would you say that country music is different to write than if you're writing a pop song? Is there a difference in how you approach things?
Absolutely. There is, I mean, kind of a formula. Verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. Whereas pop is more so how it sounds. I mean, take I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys. No one knows what that song really means, but it sounds so good. Where I don't think a country artist could get away with using, speaking so vaguely. And I remember I don't mean to name drop, but I guess I have to because he has a name. But I was writing with Nelly, I guess in March of last year. And this was a bucket list item for me. I was smiling ear to ear the entire day because I grew up idolizing Nelly. And I remember at one point, me being the Nashville songwriter, I was trying to make sure that everything made sense top to bottom as you read it down. And he kept telling me, you know, it doesn't need to make sense as long as it sounds good. And so that right there is the difference between pop music and country music.
And did you turn to him and say, Nelly, it's hot in here?
I should have.
We've got Chris Bandy on our show today, and his self-titled EP is out, which, of course, you'll want to get a copy of. He's going to do another song for us right now. And what's the name of this one?
This song is called If You Ain't Got a Girl. And when I moved to Nashville, I didn't want to do anything outside of music because I knew how quickly you can get sidetracked and, you know, you're making a paycheck doing something. It's kind of hard to go not make a paycheck, following your dreams. So everything that I did, I wanted to revolve around music. So I sang demos. We played so many shows. We were out every single weekend except maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I was lucky that one stop on our little tour was in Key West, Florida. And I remember we would do between 5 and 7 days playing 5 o'clock to like 9:30 every night. And they would put us up in what they called the band house, which was one little room, 3 mattresses on the floor, one shower, no AC. But at 21, 22, that was the life right there. That was luxury. And I remember we would go down there all the time. And I wrote this song about some wise advice I got on a bar stool from a guy one night. And it's called If You Ain't Got a Girl.
All right. Here's Chris Bandy on The Voice of America.
I was down in Key West, making my rounds at the Hog's Breath. They're sitting and watching the sunset sinking low. When a 9 and 10 man with a cut off tee, he walked up and asked if I wanted a drink. He laughed and said, kid, remind me of me when I was young. I said, boy, I've been around the block a time or two. There's no such thing as a time machine. So if I was you, I'd get you a good dog, a good truck, some dirt on your hands and a little luck. You get a couple commas in your bank account, house on the hill with the wraparound. Get you a guitar, some good boots, a record you could always turn to. All that stuff don't mean a thing in the world. No, if you ain't got a girl. He said, take it, leave it, but believe me, I've been around the world, seen some things. Looking back now, wish I bought that ring and got down on one knee. We'll get you a good dog, a good truck, some dirt on your hands and a little luck. Get a couple commas in your bank account, house on the hill with the wraparound. Get you a guitar, some good boots, red. if you ain't got a girl. No, if you ain't got a girl. He picked up his drink and he threw it back. He looked at me and he paid the tab. And he said, I had a good dog, a good truck, some dirt on my hands and a little luck. Got a couple commas in my bank account. House on the hill with a wraparound. I got a guitar, some good boots, a John Prine record I could turn to. All that stuff don't mean a thing in the world. Don't take it from me, kid, it don't mean a thing in the world. No, if you ain't got a girl. No, if you ain't got a girl. I said it don't mean a thing if you ain't got a girl, if you ain't got a girl. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got a girl, if you ain't got a girl.
There he is, Chris Bandy, here on The Voice of America, performing live around the world. And to get all of the accolades straight here, he was named Breaking Big in Country by Entertainment Weekly, the new artist to hear now by The Boot, 2020 artist to watch by Sounds Like Nashville. And in addition to that, was on tour with Lane Hardy and Matt Stell earlier this year. We've had both of them on Border Crossings. So I guess this is the triage. This completes the triangle, the trifecta.
This is the trio. Yes, sir.
There it is. We've got Chris Bandy here in our studio. So what is the plan moving forward? I mean, our president has said by the 4th of July, we should be able to have a barbecue together. And that's just around the corner. So what are you planning?
It feels incredible. Live shows, we are kicking back off this weekend, and we've got a pretty busy schedule, you know, taking all the proper precautions, but to be able to walk back out onto a stage is something that I have missed so much. I think our first one was in February of 2020, and it had been almost a year since we stepped on stage, since we got to walk out to a crowd. So it has felt so good. And the fact that we are getting back to a pretty normal schedule is incredible. I know that my girlfriend was ready for me to get back out on the road again.
So, you know, I mean, I understand you're a hardworking guy. How many shows do you normally do in a year?
Oh man, I try not to look at how many shows we do, but I do like to be out every single weekend. So yeah. 52 weeks, we'll take, I'd probably give us 50 weekends. I'm not good at math, but two or three shows a weekend. Yeah. So that's a lot of shows.
And we'll, 50 shows, you know.
Yeah, we will play as often as somebody will have us come out because, you know, I definitely don't want anyone else to outwork me. I want to be the hardest working guy out there and take every single opportunity that comes my way because that opens up other opportunities and yeah, just take them as they come.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that's one of the big reasons that Barry Weiss signed you because, he's a good dude and I've talked to him for years and he knows talent when he sees it, you know.
So. He is incredible. And the fact that I get to work with somebody who is, I think he hates this term, but is an icon, is incredible. If you would have told, you know, 10-year-old, 13-year-old me that one day I'd be working with Barry Weiss, I would have told you that you were crazy. So
working with all the giants. And for those that don't know, he runs BMG Records. He's universally is a big, big gun in the music business. And, certainly a guy that I've had admiration for many years. And he's helped me out through the years as well. And one of the good things about this environment for me selfishly is that I get a chance to talk to some of the big names artists like yourself because you're stuck at home with nowhere else to go. So this gives me a chance to talk to you.
Well, Larry, I will talk to you anytime you want to talk. I will tell you that now. But yeah, it is, we've adapted, we have gotten to, you know, we've added nation, as a world, we have overcome something that is no one ever saw coming. And I think we've, you know, done a pretty good job at doing that. And now that we see the light at the end of the tunnel, it is hopefully something we will never, ever have to do again. But I think we did a, you know, I think we did a pretty dang good job making sure that everything kept moving.
Mm. And we're going to finish this interview with the tearjerker of the year, which is the new single, I guess. It's been named the tearjerker of the year.
I will take that. You know, it is written from, it's written from a true place. It's written from a sad place, but I got this idea. I kind of keep my phone on me at all times in case I get an idea or a melody hits me or a title or anything. And as a songwriter, I can jot it down and bring it into a write. And I had this title for quite some time and was bringing it into writes, and it never really hit my co-writers the right way to write it because it wasn't about beer or partying or, you know, anything like that. And I was lucky enough to be writing with a good friend of mine, Zach Kale, one day. And I was telling him about the idea, and I was thinking, I got the idea thinking about my grandpa who passed away about 6 months before I met my girlfriend. And I just had this idea that had he met her, had he gotten to know her, he would have loved her as much as I do. And I kind of told Zach the idea and how I wanted to write it. And he said, my dad actually passed away before I met my wife. And we both kind of knew that this was the song that we were going to write that day. And it's been, you know, it is about something that is very sad and everybody is unfortunately going to have to go through, but it's got that little bit of hope, and that it kind of twists it a little bit, and it is a happy song. It is thinking about, you know, the ones that we have lost, but in a great light, and thinking about the ones that we, you know, love today. And I remember that write was a very therapeutic write for both Zach and I, as we were sharing, you know, stories about my grandpa and his dad and our significant others now. And yeah, this is my single at country radio. And it's just been awesome to see the YouTube comments and Instagram comments and TikTok comments about people sharing their stories and how they are kind of finding, you know, solace in that song. And as a songwriter and as an artist, that is more than I could have ever asked for. So this song is called Would Have Loved Her.
It pops ain't been around, I know. Was just down in mama's house, and she told me I should swing on by and see you for a roll out of here. Yeah, I think I met the one, but I don't want to jump the gun. We've been out a few times and it feels like I've known her for years. If she's from a small town just like you, she's got a smile that can light up the room. As pretty as a hallelujah, but don't let it fool you. She'll dance when she drinks, and she'll say what she thinks. Makes me a better man like you did. I miss you and wish we could just meet each other. Cause I bet you would've loved her. Hey, Pap said, girl, I told you about it. Yeah, we've been married a couple months now. And we see you a spot next to mama on that front church pew. Oh, I bet you would've loved our wedding band. I bet you would've slid in and stole a dance. I bet you would've cried. Bet you would've laughed. Bet you would've loved her when she called you dad. If she's from a small town just like you, she's got a smile that can light up the room. As pretty as a hallelujah, but don't let it fool you. She'll dance when she drinks and she'll say what she thinks. Makes me a better man like just mean each other. 'Cause I bet you would have loved her. Hey, Pops, you know I hate to cry, but I just let it rain that night. I held your grandbaby in my hands, very first time. 'Cause she's got brown eyes just like you. Mama's glow that can light up the room. As pretty as a hallelujah. And that smile that'll do something to ya. She'll dance when I sing. And she's my everything. Makes me a better man like you did. I miss you and wish we just meet each other. 'Cause I know you would've loved her. That I know you would've loved her.
Chris Bandy here on The Voice of America and the Tearjerker of the Year, which has a very positive message in it. But it's hard to find the positivity these days in the fact that we're talking about loss of life because of COVID, and we just hit a milestone, over 3 million people lost their lives to this pandemic in the last year.
That's terrible.
It's awful. So everybody's lost somebody they loved. And in this particular situation, a lot of people had to say goodbye to their loved ones on phone, FaceTime.
Yes.
You know, I was reading where they put a surgical glove with warm water in it on somebody who's passing so they can feel the touch of a warm hand. The nurses would do that. So it's kind of a very sad situation we're in. And as Chris mentions, things are beginning to light up. And congratulations on the success of that single, the new single you just sang, 10 million streams. Can you wrap your hands around 10 million?
It feels incredible. It is awesome. You know, just the fact that we wrote that in a little room one day, two guys with acoustic guitars, and the fact that people are listening to it, sharing it, like I said, finding themselves in the song and relating it to their story, is that's the reason I started writing music, because music had done that to me when I was a kid. And the fact that people are relating to my songs and it's helping them through something is just more than I could have ever asked for.
And I read somewhere where it's, you know, because of social media and streaming, that you got validation to decide to continue to pursue this dream of yours, that you put stuff out and it was 500 streams, then it was 1500 streams, then it was 5,000 streams. And, you know, it just blew up and you said, you know, we've got something here.
Yeah. With that first single, Man Enough Now, we were playing shows all over the place and didn't really have anywhere to send anybody other than, hey, go check us out on Instagram. Go follow us on Facebook. And so we knew that we had to get something out, and we put, you know, no plan behind it. We were just a couple of kids trying to figure out this thing they call the music industry. And we threw it up online and people started listening to it. And I became, you know, a data nerd, and I was in there looking at everything, how many streams we got this week, how many streams we got this day, how many streams we got this week, comparing it to other things on a lot of these playlists and stuff. And I remember at one point, probably a month before we released the song, I remember being at a bar and having to check my bank account to see if I had enough money for another beer. And I did not have enough money for another beer, so I had to walk home that night. But fast forward a month, and we had put this song out, and it started doing what none of us ever thought that it would. And we're getting, you know, 1.5 million streams a week. And it is just, like I said, doing what no one thought it would. And I get to take my girlfriend out to a nice steak dinner. So it's crazy how quick things can change. And I hated this word when I moved to town, but how things can organically move the needle for you. And that song, it didn't just open the door for me. It kind of kicked the door the music industry opened for me. And I'm so, so grateful for that song. And like I said, it is the song that changed my life.
And you'll never have to pay for another beer again. All right, Chris Bandy, where are you on social media? You mentioned social media, how important it is. Tell the worldwide fans, how can they find you?
Absolutely. Everywhere. It's just C-H-R-I-S-B-A-N-D-I. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We have all of the socials, and then, anywhere you listen to music, Chris Bandy Radio, Chris Bandy on all of those platforms as well. And hopefully we will be coming to a city near you. You can check, all the tour dates at chrisbandy.com.
And what's the time frame for an album, full album?
You know, we've been writing all of last year. We spent time writing songs, really kind of diving into what I wanted to say as an artist and the songs that I want to put out. And, you know, hopefully I think we've got a great collection in our back pocket that we are just waiting for the go ahead to get in the studio and record.
And hopefully this year you'll be able to be with the family for the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for that.
You can be with the family and you won't have to argue politics this year. Isn't that going to be nice? Thank you, Chris Bandy, for joining us here on The Voice of America. What a pleasure to have you. If you're in D.C., come in our studios and join us live in studio. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for having me. We will see you soon.
Chris Bandy, the name of the EP and the singer-songwriter who joined us today. My name is Larry London, and you're tuned to Border Crossings. Thanks for watching.